Go with me, if you would, to Colossians. We're going to pick back up on this theme of building big people. And again, I think as people are scurrying and as people are looking for answers, and it's everywhere, people are searching, they're groping, and that's a good thing, that people want to know what is truth, what is real, what can we build our lives on. We're in a moment of national insecurity right now. Of course, we would never hope that on anyone. The only silver lining of this moment of national insecurity is that people would hopefully ask big questions. What's it all about? How can we find a real sense of peace and composure, safety, trust? What can we build our lives on? Because everything is so uncertain, it seems. And so we believe, as we exhorted earlier, the answer is unequivocally God. But in part, it's also the people of God. Because if we're pointing to the Lord and it's not yet worked in our own lives, how many of you know we can only export that which is working at home? So we want to get as much download as we can from God. We want to allow Him to build out as much of His character, as much of the fruit of the Spirit that we looked at a week ago in Galatians 5, and have as much identification with Him as possible, so that not only do we say God has answers, but we can be so bold as to say we have answers. Paul was so audacious that he would say, look at me. Many times out of false humility, we say, don't look at me. And, look at the Lord. And that's true in part. But Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. So he was so bold to say, yes, you can look at me because I am following Him. And you can follow me to the degree that I'm following Him. So we too want to be able to say, when people have questions, when people are crippled with fear, insecurity, when there's anxiety in the land, we want to be able to also say, you can look upon us. You can sit and you listen to us, because I believe that we have something whereby we can help you. We have the greatest message on the face of the earth. So a week ago, we started off the series, Building Big People, with the topic of faithfulness. Again, looking at the nine fruit of the Spirit. And then last week, we began to magnify God's faithfulness. And He's amazingly faithful. And this is a characteristic that He's building in us. I want to pick up the distinctive today and the characteristic endurance. Can you say endurance? And all that are in exams right now, all the more, dear God, help us. You know, those that endure to the end will be saved. So, but this is not merely a John Wayne, grit your teeth, jerk yourself up by your bootstraps type angle that I'm going to approach. There's something on the human side, but there's also a grace and a power given from God whereby we can endure versus cave in, versus implode, versus give up, versus peter out, versus break this covenant, versus break this promise, versus not making good on our word. There's something in the grace of God that helps us to go the distance. And again, I believe He's going to help us. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask You in these days that we're in, that we could, without shame, point to You. But we could also volunteer and say, You can look upon me because I believe I have something real. It's worked in my life. I want to share my story, my testimony of how this can also play out in your life. So yes, look upon me as well. There's hope for you in a hurting and in a confused generation. Lord, we ask that You help us to embody these attributes in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Endurance. Endurance. I was reading the end of the Gospel of Luke, and it was in the context of the end times. And that's, you know, end times always seem to surface in moments like this. There are hot books that are out, like The Harbinger, and different reads that are really quite interesting. But in the context of the end times, in Luke 21:19, in the New American Standard, there's a real interesting phrase here, and I was reading it a while back, and it really got my attention. But here, by your endurance, you will gain your life. That's loaded. That's full of implication. By your endurance, you will gain your life. We could invert that somewhat and say that there are times and settings where a lack of endurance will deeply cost us. By this attribute, by endurance, you'll gain your life. Join with me in chapter 1 of Colossians here. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the holy and what? Faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you've already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth. You learned it from our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful member of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of life. There's a legacy here, and there's an inheritance here that belongs to all of us. And as Paul began to address this letter to the church of Colossae, he wrote to the holy and faithful. And in verse 4, it says, we have heard of your faith. We've heard of your faith. We've heard. It takes faith to walk in what God has for us. We've heard of your faith. Endurance springs from faith. And we read this according to the text, because in order to endure, we're going to need this. In verse 11, it talks about being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. We are strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that, in verse 11, so that we might have great endurance and patience. He strengthens us. He rewards our faith so that we might endure. So there's a human side to this, and there's also a divine side to this. We exercise our faith. We receive God's grace. It's His might, it's His power, so we might go the distance in the grace of God. If not, I've got pollen that I'm trying to push out, so forgive me. Heal the man in Jesus' name. All this green snow everywhere. But if not, if it wasn't this rigged out in this way, anyone could do it. But it takes God to serve God. Have y'all ever figured that out before? It takes God to serve God. It takes God to do the works of God. If not, anyone could just do it. It's grace that He gives. It's ability that He gives. There is a glorious might that He provides. He girds us up in our weakness. All power and glorious might come from Him. So in essence, God gives us endurance. Let's prove that out a little bit. Go to Romans 15, if you would. Romans 15, join me in verse 4, as Paul was writing to the church in Rome. He said, for everything written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here again, it says in verse 5, may the God who gives what? Who gives endurance. See, on one hand, there is a yes in our heart. I'm going to go to the end. I'm going to finish the course. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to stay the course. Do y'all realize in an era of flightiness, that's kind of the new word, in an era of flightiness and in an era of inconsistency, going the distance is a powerful thing. People are breaking covenant all the time. People are starting and stopping all the time. It's just commonplace. You can see it in marriage. You can see it in promises. You can see it in relationships. How many of you know even relationships require work? I mean, our marriages, yes, they're made in heaven, but they're assembled right here on the earth, okay? And so anything worth value, it's going to require work. Can you say work? But God is going to strive with us. He's going to release his power. It's God that gives endurance so that we can stay the course, so that we can finish strong. It's so funny on Facebook right now. You see all these funny things that are, and I'm not on Facebook. I just hack my children's Facebook and find out some of the things going on. But at any rate, it's funny during exam period, you'll have like these studly little Hollywood actors like Ryan Gosling saying, hey, honey, I just think you're cool when you're hitting the books at the library, you know, and they're posting these little adages to try to tell people, hang in there, you know, you can make it to the end, you know, just keep your nose to the grindstone. And so we know what it's like to hit a point of resistance and say, the heck with it. But I think if we can find the wherewithal to look to God and say, God, you're going to help me in this. This is bigger than me in the natural. But there is a glorious might and there is a power that you will give to those who ask. So instead of focusing on this mountain in front of me, I'm going to ask you for grace. Matter of fact, you went so far as you said, speak to that old booger, declare that thing to move. And that's through faith. That's a theology of faith in Mark 11, 22 and 23. If you have the faith of God, you can speak to the mountain, be moved from here to there. God is in the business of helping us because he knows our propensity is to peter out, to start and to stop. So there's a power involved here so that we're not on our own. Now, there is something where people have greater aptitude than others. Some seem to be born with greater resilience. They seem to be born with a greater degree of grit, as it were. And that's a good thing. But I believe this attribute, it comes from God because, again, verse 5, may the God who gives endurance. May the God who gives endurance. That's encouraging. So regardless if you feel like you're rough and tough or if you feel like you're somewhat frail, it really doesn't matter how you were born. If you feel like you're sickly, I'm weak, I'm stalwart, I'm stout-hearted, brave-hearted, it doesn't really matter where you are on that continuum. God gives endurance. So you can feel like I'm doing good just to get up in the morning. That's all right. God will give you endurance. You may feel like I'm the type, I feel like I can conquer the world. When I wake up in the morning, it's like, watch out, world, here I come. Others, they're like, I don't even want to start this day. I just want to stay right here where I am. In either case, God gives endurance. God gives endurance. God gives encouragement. And there's encouragement that needs endurance to run its race. The Bible says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You cannot charge the hill with a sick heart when you don't even have enough muscle to barely take care of yourself, much less move the things that need to be moved in your family, move down the field that needs to be moved in your occupation, in your relationships. It comes from above, and that's an encouraging thing. The opposite of endurance is fainting, a spirit of fainting and sighing and resignation. Any of you old-timers remember that song, Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Remember that? And everlasting joy will be upon our heads. Remember that? That comes from Isaiah 35:10, where it reads, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. Sighing is when we look at the mountain and we go, "Dear Lord." And we quit before we begin. God's going to help us. It's normal to sigh. Oh, man. You look maybe at your financial situation. Oh, dear me. You look at a relational conflict. Oh, how will I ever move that stone? You look at something that's mounting up against you in the workplace, and there's that. Y'all ever done that? Some people don't even hide it. They just. Some folk, it's like whatever they're going through, it's just all over them. There's no pretense or pride. They're just. You know, one time I was walking through the hall and I heard someone just, I'm like, "Are you okay? Are we all right?" The opposite of endurance is fainting, this sighing. It doesn't mean that the predicament's not real, but endurance comes from the Lord. We can be this little fragile one. See, it's not about us, it's about God. It's not about our ability, it's about Him. In the natural, you can be this little fragile one who calls on a great big God in faith, and He downloads endurance, and He enables us to do the impossible, things that we could never do in and of ourselves. He works with us. This is important. We want it for our lives. Parents, we want to teach our children resiliency, looking to God, steadfastness, perseverance due to godly principle. Y'all remember the movie that came out in 2005, The March of the Penguins? Y'all ever seen that? Like, dear me, how they can get up and just march themselves across thousands of miles and all they do. Resilience is a principle. It's a virtue. It's our inheritance in the Lord. David, looking to God, prayed in Psalm 143, 1 through 8. Why don't we go here? How many of you know that the Bible is quite honest? And many of God's people were laid low. They were forlorn, but the key is, where would they look in times of trouble and in times of testing? One thing I love about David is he would just flat put it out there. He wouldn't conceal it. He wouldn't hide it. He would just put it out there and bear his soul, but he would bear it to the Lord. And when we complain, we can complain to the Lord and say, "Lord, help. I'm struggling here." Matter of fact, Lamentations, we call that complaintations, when Jeremiah was just complaining and bearing his heart to the Lord. Listen to David. "Oh Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows," what? "Faint within me." He's feeling the crushing of circumstances. He's feeling the crushing of what's before him. "My spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way that I should go." And here's the clincher: "For to you I lift up my soul." If you ever feel puny, if you ever feel forlorn, if you ever feel like your spirit is failing and you're fainting, it's okay. Not the end of the equation. You can be honest. But then you say, "But to you, oh Lord, I lift up my soul." Do something with this puny attitude. Do something with these feelings of fainting. Do something, oh God, because all power is yours. It's like a hydraulic lift. You ever taken your car into a shop? They put it on that hydraulic lift and they hike that bad boy up so they can work on it. That's what we do. "Lord, to you I lift up my soul." I don't like what I'm feeling in my soul right now. I don't like the angst. I don't like the frustration. I don't like the feeling of being overwhelmed or the condemning sense or just being under it. People say, "I'm really under it." And when you're in that moment, we lift our soul to the Lord. And just like you would pull up to a drive-thru. So I like to order, a couple of pints of Almighty Power and some grace and some anointing and a few cups of perspective. I pray that you would give me a grande cup of encouragement, if you would, hold the whip. We can put in our order, as it were, because it's not the end of the equation. Where people miss it is when they began to evaluate their situation and they stopped there, but there's no wherewithal or understanding that you could actually go to God and get what you need to stay the course and be mighty in your predicament. It comes from the Lord. It comes from the Lord. See, we could talk about endurance and say, you need to endure. Hey, you need to buck up. Hey, be a man. Come on, John Wayne, Marlboro man. Be, we could do, and it's kind of like, oh, okay. But that's not totally the truth, because in and of ourselves, we're limited. I've been bucking up, and I'm still here. I've been trying, but what we're going to say is I'm not going to try and huff and puff in my effort. I'm going to bring God in on this one. He's going to have my human involvement, but I'm going to ask God for help. Students, did you ask God for help on the exams? If you're in the marketplace and you're believing for something, have you actually asked God for help? If you need something in a relational conflict, have we actually asked God for help? Did we give God a shot at it? Or did we depend on our human ingenuity and our own cleverness and our own strength? It's amazing what will happen if we ask. My wife and I chronicle so many answers to prayer, and I'm convinced that we pray to the God of answered prayer, but how many times we check off? We cried out to God for this, check. We cried out to God for this, check. We're giving God a shot at it. We get to brag on Him at the end of the day, but we know the probability is that if we ask God more and more to be invited into the circumstances of our life, He'll come in. And then we get to check it off, check. God was faithful here, 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 and here. But how many times have we encountered situations and we look at one another, did we pray over that? Did we invite God here? Did we invite God into this endeavor? And it's not to be a religious thing. I mean, anything we put our hands to, we're to be constant in prayer. I don't get on the road and take a trip that I don't pray. You can say, well, that's religious. I'm here today. I'm not in a tree somewhere. Just every little thing, just every little opportunity, just call God down on this. Call this. Something's getting ready new to start up. Call God down on that endeavor. Just call God, give God a chance to connect to that endeavor to make your path successful in that way. One of my favorite prayers of the Apostle Paul is what he prayed for the Ephesians in Ephesians 3:16. Paul prayed that God would strengthen us with power by His Spirit in our inner man. And when we're in a day of fainting and sighing, there's an apostolic prayer. There are several key apostolic prayers that Paul prayed. This is one of them, that God would strengthen us with power by His Spirit in our inner man. Paul was not this big, I keep using the term Marlboro man. Paul, they say, he was this puny little guy, and he was afflicted and unimpressive in some ways. I think we'll be shocked many times, kind of like those at the Academy Awards at the red carpet, when they finally see, Tom Cruise and see that he's 4'3". When they finally see, this megastar, this is it, And the people that God has used, even Jesus in Isaiah says there was nothing in Him that would attract us to Him in His natural state. It was the touch of God on His life that attracted the multitudes to Him. So the gift is in the earthen vessel. And Paul was, he had his frailties. He had his issues, but he knew how to look to God. And he was a warrior, and he was powerful, and he knew how to get heaven to respond to his challenges. So that's why he encouraged us, just like with the Ephesians. Oh, that God would strengthen us with what? With power. How? By His Spirit. Where? In our inner man. This is where we need strength. Strength to endure. Strength to stay the course. Strength to last. It's the opposite of sighing. Because you see, by endurance, we gain our life. He gives strength to the weary. I love Isaiah 40, 29 in the NAS. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases what? Power. If you're here today and you say, I lack might, great. He'll increase his power to you. It's not about what you are. It's to whom you look. It's to whom we look. So it's not a thing, well, you know, I was kind of born. This was the hand I was dealt at birth. This other guy, yeah, he got a good hand. I was dealt this hand. Doesn't matter. It's to whom we look. To him who lacks might, he increases power. I love that. I love that. Doesn't 2 Corinthians 12:9 say that power is made perfect in what? In weakness. See, when you know that you're weak, but God is strong, and you call on that, then he downloads his strength. Let the weak say, I am strong. But when people think they're strong and don't need God, his hands are tied and he can't download it. When we're strong in ourselves, we're weak. But when we're weak and we know it and we look to God, we're strong. I can't tell you how many times people have come up to me in situations over the years, especially like in public speaking. Someone said, this is the first time I've ever gotten up. I said, are you a little bit frantic? Yeah. Are you a little bit nervous? Oh, yeah. They say this is the number one fear of people is speaking in front in public. And I said, are you feeling weak? Oh, yeah. Great. The anointing's going to come all over you like a chicken on a bug. Very good. Very good. Because the Bible says when you're weak, then you're strong. See, if you were strong in yourself, you wouldn't need him. You wouldn't cry out to him. You wouldn't look to him. You would, I'm going to wing it. You know, with that chest up, you know, kind of that thing. You can see that strut. I don't need God. But when you're weak and we know it, but that's not the end of the equation, but yet we look to God, he'll supply us in the moment based on our asking. So if you're weak, great, great. Now you have opportunity to be strong in God. See, in and of ourselves, we're nothing. But that's not true. In God, we're powerful. The uncreated God dwells on the inside. Hebrews calls it the power of an indestructible life. Deal with that. The uncreated God. When you have something buffeting you and trying to scare you and trying to, you know, torment you, you need to remember, no, the greater one lives on the inside. Greater is he that is in me than that old thing coming against me in the world. There's a great power in here, and it's there for a reason, and that power is trying to get out. That power is trying to find expression. We're not a company of spirit-filled people just to say, wow, we have the spirit. Woo. Well, what are we doing with it? It's trying to get out. It's trying to find expression. So that on Monday, you know, because we're clappy-clappy in here on Sunday, but on Monday, it's like, dear Lord, it's Monday. You know, that power wants to come out. That encouragement wants to flow. And it's by faith. You know, you kind of prime the pump a little bit. All right, I'm going to give him the sacrifice of praise today. And I'm going to give him something to work with so that I can have endurance unto the day. So when we're weak, then we're strong. And God can use us. Let the weak say, I am strong. Isaiah 40, 29 in the Amplified says, he gives power to the faint and weary. And to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it abound. Yea, God. So it reminds us it really isn't about me. It's about you. Many times we are immobilized in life because in our minds we think it's about us. Well, I'm just this. Well, this was the hand I was dealt. I've always been like this. My father was like this. This situation that happened to me in third grade. And we're always looking to ourselves rather than pointing that chin out and going, no, God, what do you want to do? It's never been about us. It's always about his grace, his faithfulness, his ability. He gives that endurance as we look to him. Power being made perfect in weakness. Who would have ever thought that? Who would have ever come up with that? It certainly threw the devil off. When the devil was crucifying Jesus, the enemy thought, I've got you. Not knowing that that very instrument of death and weakness was going to be his very undoing. So just when you think you're keeping a good man down, all of a sudden, pow. And then he begins to bust his head with that very instrument of the cross. Just like we read about Haman, who built that gallows. He was going to exterminate the Jews, so he thought. Haman himself hung on the very gallows that he himself built. The enemy overplays his hand. But who would have thought that weakness would result in power? Could you use some power in your life today? The power of God enables endurance, which in turn releases the power of God. Endurance will stand the enemy down. It'll stand him down as we look to the Lord. When the enemy sees and discerns, oh, you're really committed to this, eventually he'll let go, and eventually he'll back up. If he's not sure that you're sure, he'll persist. But when we drive our stake down and go, no, I'm here to stay, okay, he'll find something else to bother, someone else to bother. Our endurance will cause us to gain our lives. I love Philippians here when Paul was talking to the church of Philippi in chapter 1, verses 27 through 28. If we could go there. He said here, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This will be a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. When we choose to stand and download the grace of resiliency and steadfastness, it's a sign to the enemy of our soul that this is going to bust your head and I'm going to be just fine. It's a sign to them that they will be destroyed, that they will be doomed. I want to encourage you, do not be blackmailed by fear. Do not be blackmailed by what if. People talk themselves in a tizzy. What if? What if? Sometimes there's so little discipline between the ears and this matter called the mind. That's why Paul said to sanctify it. That people, they'll have a pain right here. Oh, that could be cancer. Don't even go there. Shoulder cancer. I mean, it's just funny. It's like the enemy's, all right, you won't believe cancer. All right, will you believe that it's rheumatoid arthritis? I don't think it's that. All right, and he kind of rolls the Rolodex. Will you believe that you're losing your hearing? Well, no, because it's in the shoulder. All right, will you believe that? I mean, what will you take? What will you believe? And we have to be girded up as believers and just turn the channel and go, no, you know, homie, don't play that. I'm not going to listen to that. Not going to pay attention to that. Don't be blackmailed by the what ifs and the voices that clamor. By our endurance, we gain our lives. The NIV says, by standing firm, we gain life. I was watching a National Geographic special about mountain climbing and survival. Y'all remember the mountain climber that got his arm stuck? Remember what he had to do to be free? But God forbid that would ever happen. But they were basically rolling out some psychology of facing emergencies. And they said, in every emergency, there is some kind of pain to deal with. The ability to deal with pain is the determining factor of whether people will survive or die. The ability to deal with it. But see, God's the one that gives the persevering endurance to go the distance. That's why Paul said, when I go preach, pray for me that I will preach this word fearlessly as I ought. The apostle Paul is asking for prayer. Yeah, even Paul, the mighty church planner apostle, was saying, pray for me that I'll have boldness. Well, if Paul's going to ask for boldness, I'm going to ask for boldness. If Paul was soliciting prayers for the church, I want to solicit prayers from the church. Remember Peter when he was in prison? Prayer was going up for Peter being made by the church. It just works. And so the ability to endure, the ability to persevere. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, but you man of God, and it goes on this litany, but one thing it declares is pursue endurance. Fight the good fight of faith. You man of God, pursue it. Pursue endurance. In other words, it doesn't just come. It doesn't just come. Don't yield to fainting, sighing. Pursue it. Pursue it. Which comes from strength, might, power from God. God gives the power if we choose to endure. But it starts here. God, I'm going to look to you for help. When I'm fragile, you're going to help a man. When I'm caving in, you're going to help a person. The thing that God loves to do is to take situations that look bleak and then just turn it on a dime. He does that all the time. I was down and out and ready for the TKO. He turned it on a dime. Where'd that come from? I was out. He turned it. He does that, guys, all the time. He can do it in a flash, in a moment, in an instant. Can a nation be born in a day? Oh, yeah, in a moment. God can turn something. He can turn our captivity on a dime. The key is crying out. God, download power and grace. It's available. The will to endure. Lord, I'm giving you my yes. The will to endure. The will to endure. I choose endurance. Therefore, God answers with power. Because I choose endurance, He answers with power. Any resistance on your life today? Stuff coming against you? Can you feel the current pushing against you or pressing against you? God's going to help because He knows He gets the glory in the end. He's fashioning a testimony. When Israel came up against the walls of Jericho, it wasn't just merely a wall. It was a gateway into their promise. When David came up against Goliath, it wasn't just an obstacle. Goliath was the very making of David. Had there been no Goliath, there'd be no David. Had there been no demonized madman King Saul, there'd be no David as we know him. Many times the obstacle is the gateway to our promotion. God will use the resistance to define greatness in us because we look to Him. And He'll turn something, and then now that'll be your platform to go to the next level in the Lord. So it's not merely a wall. And when you feel that wall today, tomorrow, and the next way, say, that's not just a mere wall. No, that's a gateway into the provision of the Lord for my life. This challenge is an opportunity to prove God again. And again, and I know it can sound cliche, but it's true. He loves to show Himself faithful in that way. Endure means a couple of definitions here. It means to last. Y'all, in this day and age, that's powerful. Stamina in this time, in this era, it's powerful. Endure means to last, to continue in the same state without perishing, to remain, to abide. I love that. Remain, remain, remain. The Bible says the meek will inherit the earth. Not the wicked, the meek will inherit. Remain. Endure means to bear, to sustain, to support without breaking or yielding to force or pressure. It means to undergo as a hardship without giving in, to remain firm under suffering or misfortune without yielding. A couple more. Endurance. To remain active for a long period of time. How many of y'all know it's easy to start well? It takes strength to end well. Anyone can talk a big game. It takes stamina. It's easy to rah-rah at the beginning, but where are we in the second quarter of the game? Where are we in the third quarter of the game? Where are we when, you know, four fingers go up and they're playing the intro to AC/DC, Hell's Bells. You know, in other words, this is going, it's do or die to any of y'all that have been to a Carolina football game. But at any rate, this is the last minute to change what's going on the scoreboard, okay? It gives the ability to remain active for a long period of time. Is that the last one? So God is going to help us. He's going to help us. You know, in football and in many sports, there's endurance training. Any of y'all ever gone through endurance training? Maybe you have a sport, but then outside of your sport, the coach will say, all right, that's good. I want you to work on that, but I also want you to add and supplement that regiment with endurance training. Because sometimes the one that peters out is going to be the one that loses. But if we're in shape plus our skill, then many times that'll lead to success. That's the very, you're involved in that in a large scale. Endurance training. Endurance training. In other words, the one in shape will outlast maybe the one that's amazingly skilled but yet cannot go to the end. Endurance training. The things that we go through in life, there's an endurance training there to the degree that we look to the Lord. We can endure because God endures. Psalm 9:7 in the King James says, the Lord shall endure forever. Is God going anywhere? Nope, neither are we. Neither are we. He's not going to change. He's not going anywhere. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures. How long? Forever. Go to Psalm 136. This is amazing. This is an amazing chapter here. I mean, repetition is unto a purpose. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. What? His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him alone who does great wonders, his love endures forever. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, his love endures forever. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, his love endures forever. 26 times in that one chapter alone, God's making a statement, my love, it will endure forever. I don't begin and peter out. I don't start a good thing and then I faint. I don't start and I sigh. I am an enduring God. And I'm going to help you to endure in the thing you're in. You will not die. You will not faint. I will help you. In your weakness, acknowledge me, and I will make you strong. I will make you strong. It's not about you. It's never been about you. It's funny. People say in jest sometimes, at midlife, they'll say, you know, I just deserve a nervous breakdown. You know, bless God, I've been working hard, and I just think it's my time. I just deserve one. We need to give up our right to be miserable sometimes. Hello? And we need to look to God and find help from above. But there are those who say, I deserve one. This is going to be the year. Any time now. Oh, it's just a matter of time. We want to say, no, 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 no. To him who lacks might, he increases power. The devil's going to have a nervous breakdown. I'm not going to have a nervous breakdown. When he tells you you're going to have a nervous breakdown, say, no, Jethro, you're going to have a nervous breakdown. When he puts that on you, put that right back. God would never say that. Oh, this is coming to an end. Oh, no, no, no. God's just started. He's not diminishing. The Bible says the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. He's shining brighter and brighter unto the full day. I mean, he came as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion. I mean, it's only getting better. Times are getting worse, but times are getting better. It's both and. He's flexing his muscle in this hour. To him who lacks might, he increases power. Guys, this is our inheritance. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, he doesn't give us lethargy. No, he gives us power. He gives us power. Explosive power. Yes, in our humanity, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Yet those who wait, dear me, we'll wait on everything else in life. Who's going to wait on the Lord? I've got this predicament. And there's just that bad attitude. Wait on the Lord. To those who wait, he will what? Renew their strength. They'll gain new strength. They'll walk. They'll run. They'll fly. There's a mounting up. We'll soar on the wings of eagles. Run and not grow weary. How can that be? Is that just twinkle, twinkle, little star? No, this is our inheritance to those that'll wait. God, and here's a good prayer. God, I can't, but you can. Give me what I need, and I declare myself now strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. 2 Timothy 2:11 says that if we endure with him, will also reign with him. Matthew 10:22 says, those that endure to the end will be saved. James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. James 5, 10 and 11, just the scriptures go on and on. As an example of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. Back to our original text, Luke 21:19, in the King James it says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Possess ye your souls. And so it's not about us. It's about God. All he needs is our willingness to say, help a man. Help a brother. Help a sister. Help a man. I will wait and I will ask. I'm not going to let this wall be the end of the story. I'm not going to let this mountain in front of me be the end of the story. You're going to give stamina. You're going to give endurance. Your mighty power is going to provide it. And it's going to be a sign to the enemy that he's defeated because you just won't stop. The spirit of Rocky will come on you. You just won't stop. And you have another uppercut. You know, you have another blow to throw. The ever-ready battery. It just won't. When the enemy sees, you know, they just won't faint. My days are numbered. He moves on. He moves on. Father, we just ask you for a spirit of resiliency in this hour. Lord, when it's so easy to bow out of this promise, this covenant, Lord, when the vice of life, Lord, tightens around us, we're going to need heaven's power, Lord, to go the distance, whether it's an endeavor in the workplace, in the marketplace, whether it's business, whether it's relationships that we're tempted to quit on, Lord, whether it's situations in family, in marriage, whether it's being in just very weak of exams, just our schoolwork, Lord, the things that we feel, Lord, that press. Let's just stand to our feet right now. We're just going to ask the Lord. We're going to now just go from teaching to workshop. Some of you, God has promised you things, and you're thinking, dear me, when is that ever going to manifest? Lord, we just open ourselves up right now to you, and we just ask you, mantle us, Father, with a mantle of endurance. We want to be big people in the earth. People are running to and fro looking for answers, looking for something real, looking for something stable. Lord, we thank you. You're going to help us to model strength, to model endurance, stamina, and consistency. Lord, we're not going to cave in when others are crying out, looking to and fro. We declare, steady she blows to our own soul, oh God, that comes from you. Just lift your hands to the Lord, if you would, this morning. And just whatever things, again, the application here could be manifold. Whatever the application, just say, Lord, I receive your endurance in this area. Some of you, you're waiting on something. You really need a breakthrough. Just say, Lord, I receive new vigor, new strength, new encouragement, new faith. Others, it's just the challenges of life. Lord, we ask you for endurance. We ask you for endurance, an enduring spirit. Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am strong. Lord, that's our story, and we're sticking with it. You have our confession. You're the high priest of our confession. We just say right now, forgive us for murmuring, complaining. Lord, we just give you our mouth, not just on Sunday, but tomorrow. We're going to give you our mouth, and good things are going to come out of our mouth. We're going to declare your word that if God is for me, who can be against me? We're going to declare out of our mouth, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're going to declare that God's power is perfected in weakness. So if we feel weak, we're in good company. So was every other humanoid who lives on the face of the earth. Lord, we receive your grace because we're asking. We ask and we receive, and we just thank you for it right now. We just call those challenges met right now. and the grace of God. This challenge is met right now in the grace of God. In Jesus' name.